just getting to know one another, just becoming family. It's important to have a good church family and have support that you know that you can call somebody and they'll be praying or come to you if you need them or whatever it is that you need. Praise God. You know, and really mean it when they do. Yeah. Come on. See, I'm just as confident in you all praying at your house for me as I was if you would come up and lay hands on me. Because I believe in the anointing of God that's on you, and I believe there's no distance with God. Amen. It doesn't matter. You know, so praise God for that. All right, open your Bibles with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. We're going to do a pretty good little bit of reading, but I want to get this whole story in here so that we can see the whole thing. Mark chapter 5, it says, "And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship," speaking of Jesus, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been oft bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered to the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was done, what it was that was done. And when they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And when they saw it, when they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray in him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith to him, 'Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee.'" Now, it goes on to say that he went back in and began to tell. And if you want to know the rest of the story there, later on when Jesus comes back again, the whole city meets him out. That because of who he had been and because of his testimony and his witnessing, he had won that whole region to the Lord. They believed on him when they came out and they met the Lord when he came back. But what I want to talk about right now is this man. This man apparently was a good man. You say, well, he didn't sound very good. Well, but you can't look at him beforehand when Jesus first met him. You have to look at him after Jesus met him. After he met Jesus, after he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, now all of a sudden he's in his right mind, he's clothed, and he even wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus doesn't allow him to go with him, but sends him into the city to tell everybody what he had done for him. Now, what I want you to understand about this story is this is a good man that was driven by a wrong spirit. And so today I want us to talk about the right spirit, making sure that we are in the right spirit, that we're following the right spirit, that we can discern what's right and what's wrong. Because this man, some way, somehow, we don't get all of his background. We just find out, you know, here he is in the tombs, in the cemetery, cutting himself, and he's demonically possessed. And when they try to even chain him up, he breaks chains. Can you imagine that? they can't even tie him up. They can't hold him. He just breaks whatever they try to bind him with. So he's running naked and he's screaming, he's crying, and these demons are manifesting themselves through him. And when Jesus shows up, they manifest and ask him not to cast them out of the country. Something happened in that man's life that caused all of those demons to come into him. See, we don't like to think about it, but something somewhere went down in his life that caused him to be possessed by all those. Think about all those. You know, it's one thing to be possessed with one demon, but to be full of demons, that's a whole other thing. You see, but the Bible teaches us that when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, that spirit goes looking for rest and he finds none. And then he says to himself, I go back to my house from which I came. Talking about that body that he was cast out. And the Bible says he comes back and he finds it empty, swept, and garnished. In other words, God's not there. It's empty. And he goes back in and he takes seven spirits worse than himself. So, you know, what we could say there, now we went from one, now all of a sudden we've got eight. You see, and maybe something along that line's happened, I don't know. But what I am glad of is that we get to read the fact that Jesus cast those demons out of this man, out of a good man, because he came to him. Now, here's the thing. We've got to understand that if we're going to keep ourselves clean from the enemy, we're going to have to stay with Jesus. Come on, we need to make sure that Jesus is in our life. And as I'm going to tell you this, the devil cannot possess a child of God that has the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. He cannot possess a born-again child of God that's been born of the Spirit. Because where the Spirit is, the devil can't live. Come on, so you need to understand that. But what a devil can do, though, is a devil can manipulate from the outside. They can oppress. They can whisper things at you. They can cause you to meditate and think on things that you ought not to, that gives them a little bit more hold on your life. Not possessed, but yet at the same time, sometimes crippling effects because they've attached themselves. And so you have to be aware of that. You have to realize that you have the power to speak over your own body, to speak over your own self, and declare in the name of Jesus that no demonic activity is going to attach itself to you. That no demon's going to be able to oppress you from the outside. It has no right and rule. You know, sometimes we get asked to pray over houses and that kind of thing. You know, here's the thing. If you're a born-again child of God, you don't need a preacher to come. You're an anointed person of God. You just pray and speak over your house. And now somebody says, well, what about anointing? Well, if you want to anoint, that's fine. Just whatever you're being led of the Lord to do. But understand, it's up to you to make sure that you are the one that fights off the devil, that keeps him at bay, rather than believing somebody else is going to or whatever. So this man, apparently somewhere along the lines, I'm sure he didn't know all of this, but you do, somewhere along the lines, he had messed up and he had given place to the devil. And that's exactly what the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now, and it's real easy to do, and you think that you can't do this, but see, we're talking about having the right spirit. In Luke chapter 9, Jesus is traveling with his disciples, and I'll read this for you, and if you're looking at the notes, it's not in your notes, if you're looking online at the notes, because this, I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning, and the Lord said, remember to do that. And so when I got up, I added it to my notes. But because it's important, because it really would pertain more to us, children of God, because he's traveling with his disciples. Unless Luke chapter 9, verse 51, it says, and it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. In other words, he's got to go into Jerusalem. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered to a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. In other words, they were mad because he wouldn't stand there in that city. He was going to move on through the city. And so they're mad. They wouldn't receive him. Verse 54 says, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? You know, they're mad. Right? They're frustrated. They got the Lord Jesus there, and that town's not going to receive him, and they just want to burn them all and make them crispy critters. Right? That's what they're saying. Y'all remember the story of Elijah, right? How he called down fire when they were trying to come and get him, and they sent troops of 50, and he would call down fire, and everybody was afraid. That's what they're talking about. Verse 55 says, "But he turned and rebuked them and said," now listen to this, "you know not what manner of spirit you are of." Look at that. "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went to another village. Now, the reason I wanted to bring this, and I really believe it's the reason God wanted me to bring this, we have to be real careful about wanting to get revenge on somebody that we're mad at. Because that's not the Spirit of the Lord, because the Spirit of the Lord is to forgive. And we that's the probably one of the hardest words that we can ever deal with is forgiveness. Because we want to see them get theirs. Right? Come on. You know, you want to, they've done this, they've done that, they've hurt you, you just want to see them, you know. Pastor Ed and I have had this discussion before. You know how you want to. And you know that they will pay because, you know, judgment belongs to the Lord. Right? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. But then she and I have said before, and this is long, she said before, "Yeah, but you don't get to see it." And I thought the same thing, you know. But see, that's just it. See, that's that spirit that's on these disciples here. They want to call down and see them get burned up for not welcoming Jesus into their town. Well, see, what they forget is that those people are God's people too. Amen. See, the Samaritans, they were half Jew. So they were God's people too. Well, you know that person that you're mad at him, you just like to see him get killed or die or get gone? Come on now. See, you're just your halos for me, would you? Could I make this a little easier for you? Folks, some folks in government, somebody would just like for them to be took out. Come on now. See, now I'm getting down where you thought, okay? Still God's people. May not be serving God, but still God's people. But you got to remember, there was a time when you wasn't serving God either. Come on. You know, and so thank God for His mercy on you, and we have to have mercy on them. So you have to be careful and not let that wrong spirit. He said, you don't know what spirit you're of. In other words, he's saying that's the wrong spirit. That's the spirit of the devil. And you're allowing him to manipulate you because you're mad because they didn't show me favor. Amen. So I really believe the Lord just wants us to see here, we need to keep a right spirit even when we're angry. Amen. You know, and so, you know, and then there's, you know, you don't necessarily have to huggy, kissy or anything like that, but you've got to forgive them. Amen. You know, you can go into a business or something like that and they can do you wrong. You know, you can forgive them, but you don't have to go back and do business there again. Right? Yeah. Do what? Yeah, a lot of times folks do. You know, that is pretty amazing. You know, you can somebody get your food wrong and make them be mad and make you mad at McDonald's. You go back to McDonald's, but somebody make you mad at church. You won't go back. Ad free, okay, amen. But it is kind of true, right? Amen. Yeah. So we can't give the devil place. We have to be careful of the kind of the spirit that we're doing things and the way we're thinking and that kind of, it's hard for us because we're human and we do really want to see them get it. But we have to remember that because it only takes a little bit to cause a lot of trouble. Just a little bit. I'll prove it to you from Scripture. Go with me to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Look at verse 7 here. Paul's writing to the Galatians and they're having a problem here. Verse 7, though, he says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" He says, "This persuasion cometh not of him that called you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." A little leaven. See, you let a little bitterness in on you. Just a little bitterness will cause you to become totally bitter. Amen. You have to be careful of these things. Here the Galatians are, what's happening to them, it's all about circumcision again, where they're coming in and telling them they have to be circumcised once they've been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. And some of them are believing part of what they said. And just believing part of it, see, when you believe part of a lie, then it distorts all the truth. Amen. See, if you, with what they're going through, if the blood of Jesus sets you free and you're born again and made free and now you're in the family of God, they're whispering in their ear and saying the only way you can be in the family of God is to be circumcised. See, what they were trying to do was bring them back into bondage under the old law. And so Paul's saying, you know, that didn't come from God. That wasn't a word from the Lord. And he said, you've got to be careful because just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So we have to be careful that we don't let just a little something into our spirit that will cause us to be bitter, to cause us to have a problem. Because one person can do something and you get a sour taste about it. And if you're not careful, everybody else that even remotely acts like them, looks like them, kind of talks and operates like them, all of a sudden, everybody like that now, you're against. It's true. You have to be careful about that. Because what you'll do is sometimes, well, they remind me of so-and-so. You know, and automatically you don't like them because they remind you of so-and-so even though you don't even know them. Amen. See, we have to be careful that when we find people and greet people and we're around people, that we have the right spirit. We have the love of God. We have the forgiveness of God in our heart. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll see people sometimes and their actions and things will turn you off real quick. But if you don't know that person or get to know that person, if you're not careful, you can make a snap judgment, a quick judgment, and judge them wrongly just because of past things that you've dealt with. And that's why it's important to forgive and allow it to just go on, even though you really do want to see it happen. Now, let me just go ahead and kind of take that because, you know, they were lying to them, trying to tell them to get them over into bondage. We're going to get a little, I might make some people mad, but you just have to get mad at me. But there is a lying spirit that's loosed in our country right now. There's a lying spirit that's loosed in our country. See, a lying spirit, their job is to get you to believe the lie. That's their job. Now, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to persuade you and I to let go of the truth that we know. That lying spirit's trying to do that. And it comes from a lot of people. They say things like this. And you can see if you can relate with me. They say that we don't need God in our country anymore. That we've evolved. We've grown. We don't need the Bible anymore. We don't need God. We can take care of ourselves. How many knows that's a lie straight from the pits of hell? Jesus said, you can do nothing without me. Right? They're saying that we don't need God in our schools. We need God in our schools now more than we have ever needed God in our schools. I mean, you know, when we get to where, you know, teachers are having to explain to their class why little, you know, first, second, third graders, even kindergarten, why little kindergarten, first grade, second grade boys are wearing a dress to school. And they have to explain to the rest of the class that they have to be nice to them. Now, you want them to be nice, of course. But the teacher shouldn't have to explain that because somebody sent their kid to school like that. Because that sure wasn't that kid's decision to do that. Come on now. See, don't believe the lie that they know. They barely know they exist right now. They don't have a clue, but they're being told lies themselves. And they're believing the lies because young children trust. Right? You remember Jesus when he brought the kid over. He said, you can have faith like this little kid. You know? So they're telling us that we don't need God in school anymore. They're telling us that we don't even need God in our lives. I got to have God in my life. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't have God in my life. So see, that's that lying spirit trying to get us to believe this kind of thing. They're telling us that we should be tolerant of homosexuality. See, it got real quiet. Love the person, but you cannot condone the action. Amen. The tolerant that they're saying is that we ought to say it's okay. But it's not okay, church. It's not okay, and you've got to realize that. See, I'm talking about spirits here. Homosexuality is a wrong spirit in a good person. You understand that? It's an unclean spirit that's in a person. But they're telling us we need to be tolerant of that. They're telling us that we need to be tolerant to a woman's choice to murder her baby. Yeah, but it's not been born yet. That's what they say. It's not a life yet. It's amazing. You know, just here's the height of stupidity. Okay? They go to Mars and they're looking for some kind of microbes or something that they can find on Mars that is proof that there was life on Mars. Some kind of microscopic something, and that's life on Mars if they find it. But a heartbeat in a woman's belly, now that's not life. See what lies that they want to tell, and they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know, if we're going to base life on Mars the way they base life on Earth, then they're going to have to go up there and find a person outside a womb up there somewhere. Then they can say there's life on Mars. Because they're saying as long as it's in the womb, it's not alive. Don't matter if it's 9 months full term. See, but that's what a lying spirit does. It tries to get you to be tolerant of stuff that you know is wrong and what the Bible says is wrong. It's a wrong spirit operating in people. And if you study the Word of God, you'll find out that the wrong spirit, the devil, always loved to kill kids all the way through the Bible. That's what Baal worship was. People sacrificing their kids, burning them alive in fire. So it's still going on. Every day. Through COVID. They wanted to shut the church down because it was non-essential. Well, you know what that was? They were saying, we don't need God right now. But we need liquor stores so people can feel better. Right? Well, how many knows the spirit that you get in a liquor store is not a spirit of God? It's not a right spirit. They said abortion clinics, we got to have them. They're essential. Come on now. You couldn't go buy a couch to sit on, but you could go get an abortion. See, that's the lies that they want you to believe, and that you're unimportant. The church is unimportant, but things like that, now that's important. That's really important. See, I'm talking about recognizing and knowing a right spirit and making sure that you're in the right spirit. You look at that, you empathize with those young women that are in trouble But then, see, I turn around and I see a system that's set against people adopting. You know, it costs some young couple $30,000 that they don't have, at least that, to try to adopt a child, and then they have to go through all kinds of red tape to do it. But they're killing millions of babies that couple would love to have two or three of them, maybe. It's all messed up, see. It's lies, and it's not the right spirit. Come on, God's a God of life, not a God of death. And so we have to be careful of that, you know. They're telling us really that we have to be tolerant of other religions. I'll be respectful, but that don't mean I have to accept it. I'll respect what, you know, they can worship who they want to. But don't try to make me say that it's okay and that it's right and that it's God. Because there's only one God. And Jesus Christ is His Son. And if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He died on a cross, was placed in a tomb, on the third day He rose again, then you're not in the family of God. I don't care what you call your religion. Amen. It's the truth. So we have to be careful because, see, they're trying to manipulate through the wrong spirit to try to get us to believe lies. Remember when the tires fell? I mean, everybody was trying to get into church then, and but they still wouldn't talk about Jesus. They wanted to talk about God. Yeah. Everybody wanted God, you know, but they still wasn't giving them Jesus, and Jesus is the only way to get to God. Everything else is just religion, folks. It's just a religious gathering. If Jesus Christ is not the center of it, if it's not about His death, burial, and resurrection, then it's not true Christianity. It's just nothing but religion. Amen. And I understand in Christianity we have some different denominations and some different beliefs, but the core is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. His death, burial, and resurrection is what gets us belief, and that's what gets us into heaven. Amen. And so we're not going to change that, even though some, you know, then folks say we're going to have to change the way we believe. We're not going to change that. You know, and we see things today that's just so ludicrous, you know, because they want us to believe what they're saying and want us to accept what they're saying, you know, and we can't just accept it, folks. I mean, what happens when you start accepting this junk? Well, I'll give you a perfect example of what happens. Big hairy men enter into women's sports and dominate the sport because they're a man and they should have no business competing with women in the first place. Right? I mean, it's just the truth. And it takes away a win for an outstanding female that should get first place, but doesn't have the muscular frame that a man has, and so he has a very unfair disadvantage. Can you see women trying to, I mean, and I know there's some strong women, but can you see women trying to weightlift against men? I mean, no matter how much the woman, and you can see some of them, I mean, they're all muscle, but they're this wide muscle, you know, even when they flex out, you know, because their physique is a woman's physique. Then up walks a man like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and he's about that wide. Now, what's she going to do against him? See, but that's because God made a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. And I don't care how much they lie about it. I don't care how much that spirit tries to prevail. I refuse to be influenced by it or accept it. And you have to do the same thing. I mean, it's fine. I'll be nice. But I'm not going to agree. Amen. It doesn't matter. Yes. See, you have to understand that. And we've got to get people's minds back to the Word of God and get the right spirit in them, because they're in schools, hopefully not around here as much, but they're in other schools teaching these kids this dumb stuff. They don't have a chance to see it for themselves. They're being taught what you know you were taught. Amen. you were brought up that way. You were taught that way. And so now they're teaching it a whole lot different. Why? Because they have an agenda they're pushing. The wrong spirit's in charge. The wrong spirit is pushing an agenda. And we have to be careful and realize that that's what's going on. And therefore, we have to protect our family. You got to tell your family better. You got to tell your kids better. You got to tell them the truth. If not, they'll believe in untruth and think it's the truth. Amen. So we have to be careful about that. You know, yeah, I don't know about you, but you know, my little granddaughter will be 10 years old. I don't want her going into some bathroom and some man going in there then. It's just so ridiculous. So foolish. So we have to be careful about the spirits that we allow to influence. You have to be careful in the spiritual realm about the wrong kind of spirit and making sure that you're worshiping the true God. Let me show you over here real quickly. I'll try to hurry now. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy 17 and 2 says this. I know this is old law, but God's the same God, right? If there be found among you within any of thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, man or woman that hath wrought wickedness in the sight of the Lord thy God in transgressing his covenant, and hath gone and served other gods and worshipped them, either the sun or moon or any type of host of heaven, which I have not commanded, and it be told thee, and thou hast heard of it, and inquire diligently, and behold, it be true, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought in Israel, then shalt thou bring forth that man or that woman which have committed that wicked thing unto the gates, even that man or that woman, and shalt stone them with stones till they die. See what it just said? It just said, if you worship any other god besides me, you're stoned. Now that's Old Testament. I realize that. But he's the same God. He's still the same God that says, thou shalt have no other God besides me or before me. And so we have to be careful that we don't get over into some of this other junk, because a lot of times things from Eastern religions try to come in. And they come in a lot of times under false pretenses, you know. A lot of yoga is part of an Eastern religion. See, some of one or two of you and some of you looking at me. It's part of a ritual that they practice in certain religions. The meditation thing and all that. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with meditation. Biblical meditation is what God told Joshua, meditate upon the word day and night. And if you'll do that, you'll have good success and you'll have favor. So, you know, nothing wrong with you meditating, but meditate on the word. Come on, see, the purpose of meditation and yoga, it opens you up for the enemy, because you're clearing out your mind for him to come in. But if you meditate your word on the word, it opens up yourself for the word to come in. So he says, you not have any other gods before me. He is God, church. There's some things out there that sounds good, but it's not God. Amen. And so you have to be wary of this stuff and know the right spirit. And when you're around people like that, you know, God had them stoned to keep that kind of stuff from spreading. Amen. He stopped it in its tracks. I'm going to tell you something. If see, y'all are not going to like me about this, but it might be that if we had a few more gallows put up, there might not be near as many men molesting little kids. to make it a capital offense. And I know you're immediately saying, I can't believe you would say something like that. Well, if you look at it, if you study the Word, God was for capital punishment when people did wrong against morality and against Him. The wages of sin is death. And if they'd quit letting all these people go, I mean, come on, think about it. Some of the states, people can come in and steal $1,000 worth of your stuff and no repercussions from it. Just come into your store, grab up an armload of stuff and walk out, and you can't stop them, you can't touch them, and can't do anything about it. Come on, I mean, you know, that's the height of stupidity. But you see, that's that spirit that's out there. You know? Been watching a little bit of news lately, and you know, I kinda like the Kennedy guy. You know, I'm not trying to get political, but I'm just gonna say that, you know, he's got some common sense. He went down to the border, seen the border wide open, said, "Hey, this is a mess." He told the truth. Now they hate him. Because that's not the lie that they was trying to spread. You see, so you know, when you don't believe the lie, then they'll try to crucify you. Come on, but it didn't change it from being the truth. It's still the truth. Now, again, these people that were worshiping these other gods, they weren't bad people, but that was a wrong spirit. They weren't worshiping the Lord God like that they were told to worship, the way that the Bible had instructed to, or the Word of God had instructed to. And so we have to ourselves be careful that we don't get seduced by a wrong spirit. It can happen. I'll show you Hebrews. I read this the other day, but we'll read it again. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says this, "Take heed, brethren," that's the brethren, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." You have to be really careful that you don't. Man, I'm thinking of different people, singers and different people right now. And we were talking about one on our praise team page the other day, that slowly the world gets a hold of people, even in church. And if they're not careful, if they don't get away from that spirit, they'll end up getting caught up in it. We're talking about how some of them are trying to cross over and to be popular in mainstream. You know, and then some of them cross over. I mean, back in the, I guess it was in the 70s or the 80s. I mean, it's just a fact. You know, Ray Bolts was one of the biggest in the gospel music business. I mean, the songs that he sang and that he wrote were just, I mean, they were awesome. And then somewhere along the lines, he was going to a church that had homosexuality into it, and all of a sudden when he comes out, he's homosexual. Now, I don't believe he was a homosexual. I believe that wrong spirit got over on him from hanging around people with a wrong spirit, and that's what caused that. He was influenced by that. And see, that's what we have to be careful of those things, because we can get in over into this having, you know, the wrong spirit comes from the garden. Remember when Satan said, "Did God really say that?" You know what he was saying. And then he goes on and says, "No, that's not really what God meant. God knows that if you do that, then you're going to be like God." You know, that's what the devil does. That's not really what God meant. And he wants you to think about it and change your mind, get to try to change your way of thinking. And so you have to be careful about that, see, because that's that little bit of leaven that gets in there that grows and grows and grows on you. And first thing you know, now your thinking's messed up. Well, am I wrong to think this? Am I wrong to be against homosexuality? I mean, after all, there are people that God loves, and they are. But you see, it doesn't make the action right. You see, because the action goes against the Word of God. And all of a sudden, though, if you get around certain crowds, they're not wrong, you are, because you're a homophobic. You know, you're not tolerant. You know, it is sad, and some of our college kids can tell you this, a lot of studies that they have to go through, even though they don't believe what's being taught, they have to answer correctly to pass the class, because if they express their belief in God and the truth, then they'll fail. Isn't that sad? But it's true. I've had people, especially if you start getting into psychology and social studies and, you know, social work and that kind of thing, you see, that I've had some of them come to me and say, what am I going to do? I got to have this. I got to pass this class in order to get my degree. I tell them, put down what they want to hear, but know in your heart and repent to God and say, God, you know, I don't believe this, but I got to put this down here to pass this so I can get my degree. And when I get my degree, then I'm going to tell people about God when I counsel them or whatever. Use the daggone devil's weapon against him. Amen. See, that spirit is there and it's pushing agendas and pushing things. So how can we know out all this? And I'll close with this. How can we know for sure that we're not being influenced or we're not of the wrong right spirit? 1 John chapter 4. It says, Beloved, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard of that it should come, and even now already is in the world. That spirit of Antichrist church is here. But you have to understand, if it's God and it's backed up by the Word of God, then it's the right spirit. But if it's not backed by the Word of God, then it's not a God. If God says it's wrong, it's wrong. If God says it's right, it's right. It don't matter what you believe. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me.